Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping way up in the sky. Your daddy's rich and your mammy's good looking. So laugh, little baby, don't you cry. That song is supposed to hold up the easy living of summer. And there's only one thing that can make that living even easier. And that's to study Greek, to take Hebrew, to study theology, to attend the Christ Academy. And so, I hope that all of you are experiencing that kind of delight in this place this summer. But our text takes us to another time and place, a ship in peril, where experienced sailors see the end near, and where there's a seminarian by the name of Jonah fleeing from his first call. He senses, because he has told those sailors already, that I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, who made the sea and the land. They knew that was Jonah's belief, and so it came as no surprise when he confessed to them, if you're to be saved, you have to take me and throw me into the sea. For it's the Lord who has caused this storm. And if you look at the history of scholarship from that moment on, there has been an infinite kind of discussion of the great fish. Rationalists on the one hand have challenged the credibility of such an event, and classic Presbyterians and Christians on the other side have defended it. In fact, in the old Princeton Review, you can read an extended article chronicling fish swallowings. Some of them are firsthand witnesses, some of them by survivors. But actually, I'd like to say that Jonah is about much more than fish swallowing. In fact, when you with Jonah confess God who created heaven and earth, that whole question evaporates. God can do as he wishes, when he wishes. No, the real events of Jonah's life point to a larger reality. It's God, not God's power. It's not his miracle-making bravado. But rather, it's his infinite grace and mercy that is so much at the center of this narrative chronicle of events. You see, Jonah was to go to that great city of Nineveh and to preach against it so that it might repent. His was an evangelical mission. And when he finally obeys, that's precisely what happens. The people declare a fast, all of them from greatest to the least. They put on sackcloth. And what is the response of God? God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways. And the text says he had compassion. Nacham, beautiful Hebrew word of mercy. But then, what was the response of Jonah? He may have been an early morphology of some Missouri Synod piety. Jonah, we read, was displeased and angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said would happen?" Catch this. Now here he's been in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, and he's looking God in the eye and chastising him. Look at these Ninevites, they've repented, you've had compassion, I told you. What had he told God? O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. And then imagine this. Now, O Lord, take my life, for it is better to die than to live. I, for one, would not pray such a prayer, having been through Jonah's experience. But it shows the character of Jonah. Here is a man shot through with false priorities. Indeed, have you ever heard some pop preachers and laity, unfortunately, who clearly in their style delight more in telling people they're going to hell than telling them the good news of deliverance? Jonah apparently had such a disposition. He relished God's power and majesty because he thought those benefited him, privileged him over against others. But God's grace, mercy, compassion, how disappointing, even embarrassing, that these should be extended to all. First to the sailors on the boat, and then to the Ninevites. Here is God's unwilling, even angry and rebellious prophet, being used against his will to bring the good news of God's grace to these Gentiles. One puzzles over how stubborn this man is. Indeed, the conclusion of Jonah's prophecy, chapter 4, is marvelous in its irony and in its contrast. If you'll recall, Jonah is disgusted. He goes up on a hill at God's direction to watch what would happen to Nineveh. And he's hot. It's a summer day. And so God causes a plant to come up and shade Jonah. He's delighted. He's refreshed. He's renewed. But then God, and it's very interesting, the Hebrew word for appoint a great fish is the same word that's appoint a great plant and now to appoint a worm to go and eat that plant. Well, it gets hot again. Summer's not so easy. And Jonah again says to God, it's better for me to die than to live. And then comes God's concluding punchline that contrasts the character of Jonah with his divine character. And listen to it again. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. And here's the rhetorical punch. Should I not be compassionate towards that great city? So here Jonah can get all excited about a shading plant, but has no compassion for thousands and thousands of people who will be lost. That contrast is instructive, and it's instructive for you and for me. God's grace, mercy, and compassion became very personal for Jonah. My sense and my prayer is that that question brought repentance to Jonah, that he finally saw the beauty, the wonder, the personal mercy of God over against him. God's grace, mercy, and passion are personal to you and to me as well. He lavishly, fully, freely gives us forgiveness in Christ. And just as Jonah worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who said he would send the woman's seed, Abram's seed, David's seed, So Jonah heard mercy and compassion in that seed. And they weren't abstract words. They were lived out in Jonah's life, exciting as it was, tragic in some respects, but concrete. As with Jonah, God gets personal with us. He comes to you personally at your baptism with his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and with his word of power to join you to Jesus. He comes personally in the words of Jesus to say your sins are forgiven. He comes personally to give grace, mercy, and compassion in his very body and blood. Now, instead of fleeing from God's wrath, we flee to him, because what we see there is love beyond our comprehension, mercy, grace, all freely bestowed in Christ. And that, dear friends, is what makes this summer living easy. Better than beauty, better than wealth, is being the forgiven, innocent, redeemed children of God, for then we live free and full lives in Christ. Have a good, even an easy living summer in Christ. Amen. We kneel for prayer.